We want to be able to stay connected with you. You can watch our Sunday services on Facebook, YouTube and our website. You can also listen to them on Spotify, Google Podcasts and Apple iTunes. If you don't have internet access, you can use your dial-in service by calling 028-9227-0922 and listening in. Let's stay connected.
Good morning and welcome to St. Columba's Deira Volga here on the Belsize Road in Lisburn. My name's James and I'm the minister here. If you've been following us recently, you'll have noted that it's not my face that you've seen over the last couple of weeks. But so thank you to Nathan and Sarah for leading us over the last couple of weeks as I've been away on annual leave. It's good to be back. No matter where you go or how far you are, it's always good to be home and back in the place that you call home. So it's good to be here. This morning we continue in our series Securing Hope as we walk through the book of 1 Peter. We're going to do as we often do, is read the psalm for the day as we begin our service. There's something very powerful and poignant in God's word being read over God's gathered people. It's Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. It's like a precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. It's good to stand together in a time whenever we have been dispersed and separated. It's great to be looking forward to coming back together again. It's good to have a little bit more freedom as we're out and about, but it's great to stand together with one purpose. And we'll hear more of that actually later from 1 Peter. But it's in that unity and that purpose that God sends his blessing to be upon us. So let's pray before we worship. Father God, we thank you for who you are and all you've done for us. We thank that we can stand for you in the midst of the place that you have planted us and sown us into. And we can be a shining light for you. Lord, help us to see that whenever we walk in the light, we can't walk in the darkness because the light dispels the darkness. So help us in our daily walk, in our weekly walk, in our monthly walk, in our annual walk. Help us in our walk moment by moment to walk in the light that you cast in order that we can be seen and that we can show you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sins and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done wrong in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing. Cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sin, restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. To this point, what we would normally invite the children to come up to the front, and it has been that's been one of the things actually that, as we've recorded these services here, that I've missed the noise and the clamour. The energy, the vitality that children bring to this place, as well as all the adults that normally gather here as well. And one of those special moments Sunday by Sunday normally was that the kids would come up to the front and we'd have a chat together. And I miss that. I miss seeing you. And so we look forward to seeing you again very soon. And we'll hear more about that at the end of the service. But I'm sure as you have been walking about recently, maybe you've been out and about a little bit more and you've been in shops or you've been out for ice cream at the beach with your family, school's coming back again and all of those other things. But one of the differences now because of this coronavirus is that there's signs everywhere. Signs like this. Sometimes they're a different colour or they say a different thing, but they're all pointing us to the fact that there's this virus around us. Now, sometimes that's really hard to understand because coronavirus or COVID-19, it's got so many different names, hasn't it? But actually, it's unseen. It's very hard to begin to understand where it is or what it looks like or why we are all so concerned about it. And so these signs help to remind us that we need to be careful, help us to remind us that there is something that we need to watch for. Often one of the things that people say to me, sometimes more adults than children actually, is this: how do you know God exists if you can't see him? Well, you see, here's the thing. Just like, I suppose, in one sense, coronavirus, we can't see or touch it. Sometimes we think we can't see or touch God. But God works in me. God works in other people who are Christians. And he calls us to be pointers for him, signs for him. So whenever people look at me, people look at other Christians, that we hopefully are pointing to Jesus, that we become the signs that allow other people to see God at work. I wonder, what have you done recently? What could you do even today, small act of kindness, to show somebody else that God loves them? Let's think about that, and let's try to do that today, actually. Not just this week, but today. Let's find a wee moment today where we could do something kind. Maybe it's for your mum or your dad or your granny or your granddaughter or somebody else in your family. Maybe it's for a neighbour or maybe it's for someone else who you'll meet today. Show a small act of kindness and be a pointer for Jesus. We're going to hear God's word read now.
This week's reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 19. My friends, do not be surprised at the terrible trouble which now comes to test you. Do not think that something strange is happening to you, but be happy that you are sharing in Christ's sufferings, so that you will be happy and full of joy when Christ comes again in glory. When people insult you because you follow Christ, you are blessed, because the glorious Spirit, the Spirit of God, is with you. Do not suffer for murder, theft, or any other crime, nor because you trouble other people. But if you suffer because you are a Christian, do not be ashamed. Praise God because you wear the name. It is time for judgment to begin with God's family. And if that judgment begins with us, what will happen to those people who do not obey the good news of God? If it is very hard for a good person to be saved, the wicked person and the sinner will surely be lost. So those who suffer as God wants should trust their souls to the faithful Creator as they continue to do what is right.
So we're continuing in this series of securing hope in 1 Peter. A wonderful series, actually. A series that has brought many challenges to us, but also a series that has brought much comfort to us in our current situation and current climate. And as I've spoken each of these weeks, whenever it's been my turn to do that, I've not only finished with this concept of securing a banner of hope over us, that actually above us and around us, we can be a banner of hope for those who yet don't know Jesus. And just as we've heard from our children's talk, we are to be pointers for him. You see, because it's not about you. It's not about me. And now that's a statement that flies in the face of what we are told in most other walks of life. Certainly in the world of social media, people think it is all about me, all about them. Maybe at school it's all about you, or at work it's all about you. But as a believer, as a Christian, it's not about you. It never was. It currently isn't, and it never should be. It's about him. We are to be pointers. And as pointers, we're the ones who are to go against the flow. And in many ways, as our culture and the world around us moves away from Christendom, moves away from the theory that we are living in a Christian world and in a Christian society and that everyone has a Christian worldview, as we move away from that, it in one sense means by default that we are swimming against the current more and more. And so we have greater opportunities to shine for him. To be pointed from, listen to verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 4. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial that you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. God says these sufferings, these trials are going to come. It's going to happen. We need to be ready for them. But what are we to do whenever they come? Look at verse 13. We are to rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so to be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. That's easier said than done, isn't it? We are to rejoice in the sufferings, so we may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Because it's about his glory and not mine. But we need to get the perspective right. We rejoice when we suffer because of him. Look at verse 14. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed. We need to get our perspective right, and we need to not mix up the fact that it's whenever we suffer because of his name that we're blessed, not just simply when we suffer. Let me try to explain that as we walk through the next couple of verses. Look at verse 15. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. It's not because of what, if I suffer because of what, my actions, my words, my deeds, then that's of my own doing. But if I suffer because I am a follower of Jesus, if I suffer because I am living with a Christian worldview, if I suffer because my worldview comes and clashes against the worldview of the people around me, and I stand strong and true, and I suffer because of that, I receive insults because of that, I receive discrimination because of that, then I'm to rejoice in that because I am being a pointer to Jesus. I am lifting his name above every other name and every other person. So being called out because we are Christ, that's the key. Look at verse 16. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name. If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise his name. Now, that doesn't give us a license to be really ignorant. It doesn't give us a license to say whatever the heck we want to say. Because we are to share and to show Jesus with grace-filled words and actions. And sometimes that means that we have to hold back and step out of conversations or hold back within them. We must present and be pointers to Jesus with grace and with love. So we need to think before we do and say. We're not ashamed. We're not to be ashamed to bear his name and to be a part of his family. Because as a Christian, you're adopted into his family, an heir and a co-heir with Christ, the inheritance of heaven. Praise God. And for that, we carry no shame. We rejoice. But we need to ensure that this suffering, this mistreatment, is because we lift him up, not because of something silly that we have done. And we simply use that as an excuse. So if I say something wrong, if I do something wrong, and I'm called out for that, then that's right that I'm called out for that. But I can't use that as an excuse if I have not been grace-filled in speaking for Jesus. So be careful. This does not give us a license to do whatever we want or say whatever we want. We are responsible for our own actions. In fact, we need to be very careful for our own actions, because look at verses 17 and 18. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Judgment is coming. That's what the scriptures teach us. The preacher is not simply making it up or saying it today. The Bible says that judgment is coming. That God, who is a just God, a loving God, a gracious God, will also be a God who judges. We need to take account of our words and our actions. The book of James is very clear in that, and elsewhere in the scriptures. In fact, even the words of Jesus himself tells us that one day judgment will come. That God will winnow his people. And first and foremost, with the church. But if we are called, if we bear his name, and we still are going to have to give account. We give account in the knowledge that Jesus stands on our behalf as our advocate, as our ambassador, as the one who paid the price for our lives, and who will say, it's okay. How much worse for those who yet don't know Jesus. And so I urge you, I implore you, if you do not know Jesus yet, now is the day, now is the time of salvation. We need to warn others of what is coming. So what's the challenge for us today as we come to a close? Well, it's verse 19. So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Here's the challenge. That those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. The challenge is to remain faithful to the one who is eternally faithful. To be prepared in season and out of season, as 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, to give a reason, to preach the gospel. We need to be prepared to give a reason for the hope that we carry. I know that sometimes I fail in that, that sometimes I miss that sometimes I slip back. Today has been a prompt for me to re-establish a right connection, a right commitment to remain faithful to the one who has graciously spoken into my life. I've shared this before, but as I prepared for today, I really felt it was fitting to finish with this letter that was written by a Zimbabwean pastor. He was under severe persecution because he wouldn't deny Jesus, and he knew that they were going to come for him imminently, and that his time of freedom was short. And so he left a note. He left a letter on his desk. And here's what it is. He said, I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of his. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed, my present makes sense, and my future is secure. I'm finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colourless dreams, tamed visions, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudity, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognised, praised, regarded, or rewarded. And I live by faith, lean on his presence, walk by patience, am uplifted by prayer, and labour by power. My pace is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way rough, my companions few, my guide is reliable, and my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, pander at the pull of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up, until I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till all I know, and work till he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he'll have no problem recognizing me. My banner will be clear. What does your banner look like today? Is it pointing to him? And do others realize that? Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you that you have stepped into your creation to redeem us and to call us into your family. Help us to see that in increasing measure. For those of us who know you, Father, we pray that you would impress upon us a greater sense of your presence. Lord, for those of us who you're speaking to at the moment, we pray that you would open our ears and our eyes to see and to hear you clearly. And Lord, for those of us who don't know you yet, we pray that you would smash into our lives with your grace and your love and your forgiveness. Father God, we thank you for who you are and for what you have done for us. And so we want to pray for those who we know and love who are unwell at the moment and who are in hospital, praying especially for Eileen. We continue to pray for those who are bereaved and who have lost a loved one. We want to pray for the families who have been caught up in Beirut. And maybe we can call to mind another situation across the world that has captured our attention this week. As indeed we pray for our own community, for our neighbours on our right and on our left. For the streets that we walk on, exercise on, buy our milk on, go to work on. We pray that your kingdom would come in this community, Lord. That we as a parish would shine brightly for you, that others might see you clearly, that our banner would be clear and lifted high. We continue to pray for those who received results this week past. And your presence would be with them as they move forward because they received what they needed or led into the uncertainty because they got grades that wasn't what was expected. And we continue to pray for the world around us in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic. Give us wisdom in our words and in our actions that we can play our part in keeping each other safe. As we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. We are reopening our buildings for worship on the 30th of August. And we'd love to see you here if you feel safe and comfortable to come. We're going to release much more information about that over the coming days and what exactly that would look like and what to expect whenever you come back into the building. So keep an eye out on our Facebook and our website for those details as they come. But until then, we pray that you stay safe, stay alert, and that you continue to hold the banner of Jesus high above your head. Let's use the collect for this 10th Sunday after Trinity as we close. Let your merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of your humble servants, that they may obtain their petitions. Make them to ask such things as shall please you. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.